I love it when we have a very jovial atmosphere. And that for me, honorable members, we'll talk about it later, is one of the reasons why I so much enjoy working with you. We'll put that on the agenda. As we conclude, we'll be able to share some advice with each other, as this is indeed, Honorable Terblanche, our last meeting for this fifth term of parliament, fifth administration. We have before us today just the one item as major business, and that is the accession to the World Intellectual Property Organization treaties. We give thanks to the DGG for being here and for having prepared this presentation for us timelessly so that we can work through it. It is a rather long presentation of 35 pages, but the DGG, Dr. Masota, has proven to us before that she can deal with it in a limited amount of time. We have until 12, after 12, to conclude our business. That's the one item on the agenda, honorable members. Then we have two other items, which is just the minutes of our last meeting, and then we have a legacy report also before us. I can guarantee you that the minutes and the legacy reports we can deal with quite rapidly. So the biggest part of our agenda for this morning is going to be our consideration of the treaties. Let me say to you on the outset that what happens is that some of the treaties that we have before us are signed already. So they're more coming to us for information. In terms of our constitution, the executive is not obligated to bring the treaties to us. It's an executive decision. However, as part of our democratization processes, we are the foot soldiers. We are the ones that have to look at our legislative functions and whether these treaties are in line with our constitution, with the other acts, and that's what the DGG is going to take us through this morning. DGG, I then immediately hand over to you.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members. I'm here with my colleague, Ms. Rejoice Maberemisha. She's the Director of Legal Support in the DTI. I'm here today to seek approval from the committee to accede to the World Intellectual Property Organization treaties in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The treaties under discussion are the Beijing Treaty on Audiovisual Performances. We'll be referring to it in the presentation as Beijing Treaty, the WIPO Performances and Phonographs Treaty, and the WIPO Copyright Treaty, WCT. And also to brief the committee on the progress made on the Marrakesh Treaty. So this is the outline of what the focus of the presentation will be. We'll be looking at the background and then taking you through all the key points that we would like to highlight regarding the treaties. This slide talks to the background in terms of where the treaties fit and the legislation that is applicable for the department regarding them. The Performance Protection Act of 1967 and the Copyright Act of 1978, and the background also includes the concerns that were raised by artists in 1998 that informed the establishment of the Music Industry Task Team, and also in 2002, there was a process where Parliament passed amendments to the Copyright Act reintroducing middle time in South African law. And we also had regulations in 2006 on the regulations for collecting societies. And in 2009, there was a presidential meeting with the creative industry that took place, and also it talked to the issues around affecting artists and then looking at strategies on how to address them. And then the Copyright Review Commission was established in 2010, which was aimed to address issues of collecting society, distribution of royalties to musicians and composers, and other related issues around the music industry. And during 2010 to 2012, there was a study that was commissioned with the WIPO to research the benefits coming from the copyright-based industry in South Africa. It was in this study that it was established that the contribution of these industries to the GDP. So it highlighted the importance of this of these industries. Then, in 2010 to 2014, there was an anti-piracy multimedia campaign that took place across various provinces, and also the department was involved in the formalization process to assist the artists, and we continue to support them in terms of formalization and other related issues that are impacting on them. And in 2013, the DTI published the draft National IP Policy 2013, which included statements on copyright amendments. And in 2014, there was a regulatory impact assessment study that also looked at the draft National IP Policy of 2013, and that also talked to the issue of the treaties. And in 2017, the Performance Protection Amendment Bill and the Copyright Amendment Bill were introduced into Parliament. And in 2018, through the Portfolio Committee, the subcommittee highlighted the importance of the treaties and ensuring that we align the treaties to the bills, because part of the bills incorporates issues that are the rights and the protections that are offered by the treaties. And we did collaborate with the Department of Arts and Culture. We had some, we had a meeting with the DG of the department, and we've had engagements or communications through the minister's office as well to ensure that we had that collaboration as the key departments in this work. The treaties were then tabled at the subcommittee for the International Cooperation, Trade and Security Cluster, and then it was also tabled at the IMC for IP. And then Cabinet approved the treaties on the 5th of December of 2018. And so this also coincides with the fact that the National Assembly passed both bills on the same day in 2018. And currently we are in this process of the NCOP looking at the consultations around the two bills, the Performance Protection and the Copyright Amendment Bill. So this is just to give you a sense of where this whole copyright IP work from the departmental perspective and different engagements that has occurred, also highlighting the importance of these treaties because they fit within this particular context. So I will highlight briefly in terms of some of the key considerations that are in the Copyright Amendment Bill, also some of them talking to the treaties. The bill addresses poor governance of collecting societies, also the enabling regulations of all collecting societies, for instance, accreditation and mandate-based collections, and then it looks at the share of royalties between authors and copyright owners. The bill addresses agreement with foreign collecting societies. It introduces exclusive rights of communication to the public and the right of making available for copyright owners, the compulsory keeping of cue sheets by music users for ease of royalty collection. This also applies to the audiovisual sector in terms of keeping records, providing for resale royalty rights for artistic works, unfair contractual agreements which compromises authors, strengthening moral rights for performers, and strengthening copyright tribunal, and to provide for reasonable limitation and exceptions, for example, in research and education, and to protect against the circumvention of technology protection measures, and access to copyright works, including accessible formats for those living with disabilities. And then in terms of the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, amongst other issues, we are trying to address the non-payment of repeat fees, non-payment for commercial exploitation of the works of performers, the issues around the unfair contracts resulting in the perpetual signing away of economic rights, the lack of updated industry contracts for freelance performers, and also especially the non-ratification of treaties that make provisions for the recognition of their moral and economic rights, and disputes not resolved speedily, and the digital environment aligning to the digital environment because it's not catered for currently in the Act, where in audiovisual content is consumed. So this will talk to the issues around the Beijing Treaty. The next slide talks to the plan within which we have fitted and the process that was undertaken regarding the treaty. The process that was undertaken is informed by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation's practical guidelines and procedures for the conclusion of international agreements. And from the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, we also followed up with them in terms of alignment with domestic laws, and we also did the same with DECO to ensure alignment with international law and other South Africa's international obligations. So the legal opinions were sought in that regard. And then there was a president's minute. DECO was requested to certify the final text of the agreement. The president was requested to consider and approve the president's minutes, enabling Minister of Trade and Industry to sign the agreement. And then that's when we went through the process of cabinet and all the subcommittees that I've mentioned and the cluster engagements, including the IMC consultation, leading up to the approval of the cabinet. And this is where we are now in the second last column on the parliamentary approval. The treaties were presented to the Portfolio Committee in February of 2019, and it went to the National Assembly, and we are today in the Select Committee to present the treaties, and with the intention to have this presented to the old table at the NCOP. And as a way forward, the intention is to deposit the instruments of ascension, to deposit the agreements with treaty section at DECO, and South Africa will become a member to the three treaties 3 months following depositing this instrument of ascension at WIPO. So we are moving towards that step where we will be depositing them to finally be party to these treaties as a country. And we wanted to just highlight that there was a regulatory impact assessment that was conducted. It looked at the IP policy. However, it also talked to issues of the WIPO treaties. This is just to say that there was work undertaken in this regard. And talking to the benefits of the WIPO treaties overall, the Beijing Treaty will attract more people coming into the creative industry, especially showcase industry, promote the development of related industries, and enhance the level of national economic development. And authors and performers will enjoy the right to benefit from exploitation on works on the internet, and this is brought to the other treaties as well. Collecting societies will be able to conclude license agreements for the digital exploitation of work and online exploitation. This will result in an increase in revenue base for rights holders. The treaties bring the digital elements, so they are going to assist in terms of having some access to digital exploitation for authors and performers. The positive outcome will be the stimulation of South African cultural and creative industries. So these treaties are going to bring more economic rights and exploitation, and as well as the protection for the rights holders. And further benefits for the Beijing Treaty, it incorporates performance of literary folk arts expression in its scope of protection. This is a great opportunity for South Africa to expand the protection of traditional expression. So the treaty also acknowledges traditional expressions, traditional issues, knowledge. The technological protection measures would be applicable to the copyright works, and appropriate exceptions and limitations for digital uses would be adopted. And then the adopting of appropriate exceptions and limitations will result in legal certainty for users on permitted uses of works. So these are among some of the benefits that we foresee will be accruing from these treaties. So now we move to the legal status of the treaties. Just as a highlight in terms of what they are all about, the Beijing Treaty deals with the intellectual property rights of performers in audiovisual performances. This, for example, film and television. It is administered by WIPO. Currently, we are not a member of South Africa. The WIPO Performances and Phonograms Treaty deals with the rights of two kinds of beneficiaries, that is performers, that is your actors, singers, musicians, and then producers of phonograms, persons or legal entities that take the initiative and have the responsibility for the fixations of sounds, like your sound recording companies, and currently South Africa is not a member. The WIPO Copyright Treaty deals with protection for authors of literary and artistic works, such as writings and computer programs, original databases, musical works, audiovisual works, works of fine art and photographs, and we are also not a member. So this is just broad descriptions of these treaties. Beijing Treaty was adopted on the 24th of June 2012 in Beijing. It is not yet in force. It requires a particular number of countries to be in force. The WPPT was adopted on 20 December 1996 in Geneva, and it came into force on the 6th of March of 2002. The WCT adopted on 20 December 1996 in Geneva, came into force on the 20th of May of 2002. And in terms of the signature and accession ratification to date, 74 out of 191 countries, member states are signed on this treaty, and it indicates an intention to ratify in future and create an obligation to refrain in good faith from acts that would defeat the object and the purpose of the Beijing Treaty. And 24 out of 191 member states have ratified and acceded to date, and the examples of countries include Nigeria, Algeria, Botswana, Burkina Faso, Chile, China, Japan, Russia Federation, and Mali. And in terms of the WPPT and the WCT, 51 out of 191 member states signed, including South Africa, on the 12th of December of 1997. A copy of the presidential minutes authorizing such signature could not be located. And based on this, DELCO advised that the signature should be disregarded internally, and South Africa must express its interest to be bound by way of an instrument of accession, rather than an instrument of ratification. Accession and ratification have the same legal effect of binding South Africa to the terms of the WPPT. 99 out of 191 member states ratified to date. They include Canada, the European Union, France, Germany, Kenya, Mexico, Namibia, Nigeria, and the United States of America. Now we look at the Beijing Treaty, and the fact that it's not yet in force. So far, 24 countries have ratified to the Beijing Treaty, and it's not yet in force, and it will only come into force following accession by at least 30 member states. And what are the legal implications of that? Where the Copyright Amendment Bill and the Performance Protection Amendment Bill contains provisions that are similar or the same as those provided in the Beijing Treaty, the validity of the provision is not dependent on whether the treaty is enforced or not. The validity of the provisions in the bills is determined by whether they were enacted in terms of and in line with our constitution. So this the provisions will be applicable as soon as the legislation become effective. So now we go into the provisions of the treaties themselves. We'll start with the Beijing Treaty. The Beijing Treaty recognizes rights in the digital environment. It updates the protection of performers at the international level and modernizes this protection by recognizing performers' rights in the digital environment. And it also provides the basis for the international use of audiovisual productions and safeguards the rights of performers against the unauthorized use of their performances in audiovisual media, such as television, film, and audio. Also, it extends rights in fixed and unfixed performances. The Beijing Treaty grants performers four kinds of economic rights, being the right of reproduction, distribution, rental, and the making available for their performances fixed in audiovisual fixation, such as motion pictures. And in terms of unfixed, that is live performances, the treaty grants performers three kinds of economic rights, being the right of broadcasting, the right of communication to the public, and the right of fixation. That they are in Article 6.2, Article 11. In terms of moral rights, the treaty also grants performers moral rights on live performances and performances fixed in audiovisual fixations. That is the right to claim to be identified as the performer and the right to object to any distortion, mutilation, or modification that would be prejudicial to the performer's reputation, and that is in Article 5. The intention of granting moral rights is to protect the personality of the performer over and above his or her economic interests. And going further is around the transfer of performer's rights. With regard to the transfer of performer's rights to producers of audiovisual works, that is Article 12, contracting parties may stipulate in their national laws that once a performer has consented to the audiovisual fixation of a performance, the exclusive rights mentioned above are transferred to the producer of the audiovisual fixation unless a contract between the performer and the producer states otherwise. Alternatively, the performer can be granted the right to receive royalties or equitable remuneration for any use of the performance. And then there are also exclusive rights to broadcast and communicate publicly, also all remuneration. So Article 11 grants performers the exclusive right of authorizing the broadcasting and communication to the public of their performances in fixed audiovisual fixation. And contracting parties can, however, in their legislation, establish a right to equitable remuneration for the direct and indirect use of performances instead of right of authorization. Another right is around the circumvention of technological protection measures. The treaty requires contracting parties to ensure that appropriate remedies are put in place against the circumvention of technological protection measures used by performers in connection with the exercise of their rights. That is in Article 15. An adequate protection remedy should therefore exist against the alteration or removal of electronic rights management information attached to a performance fixed in an audiovisual fixation. So these are some of the rights that the treaty provides. And another consideration is around the national treatment. With regard to the exclusive rights specifically granted by the treaty, the right to equitable remuneration, contracting parties are required to accord protection to audiovisual performers on a national treatment basis. Each contracting party should accord to nationals of other contracting parties the treatment it accords to its own nationals. And contracting parties can limit the extent and term of protection accorded to nationals of another contracting party in accordance with what is national, which each national enjoys in other contracting party or as per reservations made. And the term of protection and representation at the assembly, the treaty grants protection to performers for a term of 50 years after the fixation of the audiovisual performance, and that is in Article 14. And contracting parties can be represented by one delegate in the assembly, but that's just a procedural issue. And then the non-self-executing treaty is another issue around the treaty. So the treaty is a non-self-executing treaty, and it will not automatically become enforceable in law once Parliament has approved. it will only become enforceable in law through the implementation of domestic legislation. So contracting parties have the obligation to ensure that appropriate provisions exist in their national laws. So meaning that until we have the performance protection legislation and the Copyright Act, they will not be enforced. So we have to have the domestic law in place first before. Then we move to the WPPT, and we will highlight what the rights and the economic benefits it brings. It grants economic rights. The WPPT grants performance economic rights. That is in Article 6 to 10 on their fixed or in unfixed performance and moral rights, which remain valid beyond the transfer of performance rights. And producers of phonograms are also granted the same economic rights in their phonograms. And the equitable remuneration. The WPPT makes provision for a single equitable remuneration for direct or indirect use of phonograms published for commercial purposes or for communication to the public, and contracting parties may limit or refrain from applying this provision by notifying the Director General of WIPO, that is in Article 15, and also the protection against the circumvention of security measures. Effective remedies should be enacted against those who deliberately remove or alter electronic rights management information without authority and against the related acts of distribution, importation for distribution and communication to the public with knowledge that such information has been removed or altered. So these are the protections and the rights that are brought by the WPPT. Furthermore, it provides for the moral rights of performers. I've already indicated what moral rights are. They are provided for under Article 5 for performers in terms of their oral performances or performances fixed in phonograms. Although these rights cover many kinds of modifications, they may be particularly relevant in the case of digital manipulations or performances fixed in phonograms. So these are the moral rights are provided for. And then we have exclusive rights to authorize making available, to authorize broadcasting and communication to the public, and also the rights to reproduction of the works. And additional rights are the right of distribution and rental. And in terms of reservations, limitations, or exceptions to rights, except for the remuneration right for broadcasting, no reservations are allowed under the WPPT. Article 16 of the provides that limitations or exceptions to rights may be made in certain special cases that do not conflict with a normal exploitation of the performance or phonogram and do not unreasonably prejudice the interests of the performer or the producer of the phonogram. And it also has implications for national treatment. The WPPT obliges contracting parties to grant national treatment in respect of the rights provided in the WPPT to nationals of other contracting parties, except to the extent that another contracting party makes use of reservations permitted under Article 15 of the WPPT. And enjoyment and exercise of the rights granted in terms of the treaty must not be subject to any formalities. And the terms of protection on slide 23 is a 50-year term for the rights of both performers and producers of phonograms. And it is an improvement from the Rome Convention, which provides for only a 20-year term. And the WPPT applies to performances that took place and phonograms that were fixed before the date of entry into force of the WPPT, provided that the term of protection has not expired. And the rest is more procedural in terms of statements of the diplomatic conference. And also in terms of the non-self-executing treaty, of the treaty, this is a non-self-executing treaty and will not automatically become enforceable in law once Parliament has approved. Domestic legislation is also required to ensure that contracting parties to the WPPT are granted, the rights are granted under the South African law. So it requires to be, the law must be in place before it becomes effective. So we move to the WIPO Copyright Treaty on slide 24. The WIPO, the WPT is also a non-self-executing treaty, so it will not be automatically enforceable. In terms of compliance with the Bini Convention, Article 1 requires that contracting parties comply with the substantive obligations of the Bini Convention. Like the Bini Convention, the WCT provides that contracting parties may not impose formalities on the nationals of other countries as a condition for claiming protection under the WCT. And it has a recognition of rights in the digital environment. It responds to the challenges of protecting works in the realm of digital technology by obliging contracting parties to ensure that rights holders have the exclusive rights to control or demand transmission of works to members of the public. And it has obligations concerning rights management information. It obliges contracting parties to provide adequate legal protection against the circumvention of technologically based security measures and to apply appropriate and effective remedies against protection, defeating devices or services. And also, it has remedies for deliberate alteration of rights management information. Effective remedies should be provided against the deliberate removal or alteration of electronic rights management information without authority and against the related acts of distribution, importation for distribution and communication to the public with knowledge that such information has been removed or altered. That is in Article 12. And then protection of computer programs. In Article 4 and 5, the treaty clarifies that computer programs are protected as literary works under the Bini Convention and that original compilations of data, databases that incorporate copyrightable authorship are also protected. And it also has exclusive post-first sale right. Article 7 provides for an exclusive post-first sale right of rental for computer programs, cinematograph works and works embodied in phonograms, and it also provides for how the contracting parties need to implement the rental rights in respect of computer programs. Moving to slide 26, we look at the circumvention of technological protection measures, which is one of the rights. In addition to the rights recognized by the Bini Convention, the WCT grants authors the right of distribution of rental and a broader right of communication to the public, that is Article 6 to 8. Limitations and exceptions can be provided in domestic legislation in line with a three-step test and provided that legitimate interests of authors are not unreasonably prejudiced. And the WCT also obliges contracting parties to provide legal remedies against the circumvention of technological protection measures. And also in terms of limitation and exceptions, in Article 10, the WCT extends the application of the three-step test for exceptions established for the right of reproduction of the Bini Convention to all other rights of and provides for the possible limitations or exceptions to all rights in certain special cases. Provided that this is not in conflict with the normal exploitation of the work and does not unreasonably prejudice the interests of the author. Rights and obligations under the WCT, in order to ensure that a contracting party to the WCT has recourse in the event of a dispute or non-compliance with obligations by a contracting party, that is an intergovernmental organization or a member state, of the WCT provides that each party bears all the obligations under the treaty. And no reservations are not allowed for any of the obligations in the WCT. Slide 27 looks at the consistency with domestic and international law. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development have analyzed the WIPO treaties in terms of paragraph 5, 20A of the Manual of Executive Acts of the President of the Republic of South Africa, and with reference to Chapter 5 of the Constitutional Handbook for Members of the Executive. And DECO scrutinized the WCT in terms of international laws and South Africa international obligation. The three WIPO treaties were found to be consistent with domestic law, international law, and South Africa's international obligation. And it's strategically aligned with the priorities outlined in the National Development Plan, especially Chapter 15, which recognizes that the creative sector should be supported by government and by the private sector as a sector that has great potential for growth and job creation. So it aligns to the developmental goals of the Republic. And what will be the implications of acceding to the WIPO copyright treaties? From an organizational and personnel implications, we are saying none. From a financial implications, South Africa is already a member of WIPO, and we pay an annual member fee. And as a contracting state to the treaty, South Africa will also bear the expenses of the delegates attending the assemblies constituted to deal with matters concerning the operation, application, development, and maintenance of the treaties. In terms of the communications implications, a communication strategy will be developed in consultation with other government departments to communicate around the treaties. And in terms of constitutional implications, acceding to the treaties will not require amendments to our constitution, but it will incorporate rights for performers, producers, and authors of copyright works, which enhances intellectual property rights. And for vulnerable groups, this will benefit South African creative industry. This benefit will flow as a result of the increased protection in other countries ratifying or acceding to the treaties. And there are no security implications. So we'll briefly brief the committee on the Marrakesh Treaty. The Marrakesh Treaty is one of the very important treaties because it talks to issues impacting on people living with disabilities who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled. And it was signed in June of 2013, and it came into force on the 30th of September of 2016. It has a clear humanitarian focus, and its main goal is to create a set of mandatory limitations and exceptions for the benefit of the blind, visually impaired, and the other disabled, the print disabled. The treaty requires member states to introduce a standard set of limitations and exceptions to copyright rules in order to permit the reproduction, distribution, and making available of published works in formats that are accessible to beneficiaries. It also requires states to permit the exchange of these published works across borders by organizations that serve those beneficiaries. Cross-border transfer is not permitted unless the contracting party in which the copy is made is a party to the WIPO copyright treaty or otherwise applies the three-step test provided in the Bini Convention to limitations and exceptions implementing the Marrakesh Treaty. We did seek a legal opinion regarding the treaty, and the legal opinion was sought last year in May, and we sought them both from DOJ and from DECO. Excuse the 2008, that's supposed to be 2018, not 2008, for both to tell it occurred last year. So the DOJ and was of the view that the treaty should only be acceded to once the Copyright Amendment Bill gets passed into law, meaning that we should wait for the law before we finalize the treaty, unlike the others. They were of the view that there is a concern that there is resistance to the amendment bill with regards to provisions relating to the Marrakesh Treaty. South Africa, if there are other resistances regarding the bill, South Africa would be bound by its international commitment to the disadvantage of domestic obligations. So for this treaty, it was advised that we rather await the law before we proceed with its accession. And DECO has also confirmed with the Department of Justice legal opinion and requested to be provided with confirmation that South African law is in compliance with the treaty prior to facilitating the accession, meaning that once if the bill becomes an act of law, we'll have to go back to the department and then they check in terms of the consistency and alignment with the law before we can proceed. So it requires a separate process, and we have committed as a department that as soon as if that happens, we will be finalizing the process as soon as possible, because this one is an urgent one. In fact, even the Department of Arts and Culture has been inquiring a lot about it, because it's one of the key treaties that talk to our people living with disabilities, especially ensuring that they have access to learning materials. And in conclusion, these treaties align themselves to the review of both legislation, which are quite outdated, quite old in terms of the number of years since they've last been amended. And we are of the view that acceding to these treaties will achieve the balance of bringing addressing our developmental agenda and addressing socioeconomic needs and our international development priorities. And it will ensure that we keep pace of the technological developments, the protection for rights holders in the digital environment, and the recognition of new technological methods of exploiting copyright works. And it will strengthen the position of our performers, producers, and authors in local and other markets, and also ensure access to copyright works, especially to the vulnerable. And Chair, I hope I managed to hit the 35-minute target. The committee is requested to approve the accession to the Beijing Treaty on Audiovisual Performances, the WIPO Performances and Phonographs Treaty, and the WIPO Copyright Treaty. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your colleague next to you seems content, but I don't want to deny you because we're doing good in terms of time. Should there be any aspect that you want to emphasize or want to add, might I give you some 5 minutes to do that, please?
Not really, Chair. I think DDG has covered all the aspects. We'll await the members' questions if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We needed to hear your voice. Honourable members, there we have it. The request before us is there on page 34, that the Select Committee is requested to approve a session. Note well the words there, to approve a session to the Beijing Treaty and Audiovisual Performance, what we call the Beijing Treaty, to the WIPO Performances and Phonographs Treaty, or WPPT, and also to the WIPO Copyright Treaty, WCT. Notice that there is no reference there made to the Marrakesh Treaty, precisely because on slides 32 and 33, it is already explained what processes need to be followed in order for us to proceed to accede to the Marrakesh Treaty, and so have it resuscitated at the bottom of slide 32 that is raised with us. I notice that members have their hands, but members, please bear with me just to say the following three things. The first is that for Human Rights Day, last week Thursday, Honorable Dikhale, I know you would want to hear this. I went to go and visit an old former colleague of mine who was a communications officer in the South African Council of Churches, Poitumelu Mofokeng. And she is married to a writer and a photographer by the name of Santu Mofokeng. Santu is presently very ill. He sits in a wheelchair. He cannot speak. He cannot use any of his limbs. He hears, but he cannot respond. He has produced at least 3 books. If he, God forbid, should die today, he will die as a pauper. He's produced 3 books. His books have been translated into German and French. That is an indication of the quality of the work that he has produced. I was so grateful that I could say to Guatemala that we are busy with legislation to ensure that our artists, our performers, our writers, who like Santu, has been disadvantaged are now in a position where if we process these treaties, as well as the Performance Protection and Copyright Amendment Bill, they will have better protection. To then conclude, we all know the picture of Hector Peterson and Sam Nzima, who has taken that picture. Now let me just read an extract for you of what is contained in the South African History Archives. And I quote, Nzima gained little financial benefit from this image. That's the image of Hector Peterson carried by another student, which has been listed as one of the most influential photographs ever taken. The rights of the image were only received by Nzima 22 years after he took the photographs. South African copyright law historically gave copyright to the person who commissioned the photograph in respect to publication and reproduction. Copyright and image usage is an increasingly complex matter given how easy it is for the internet and social media to disseminate images. You know, Honorable Faber, that picture that I took of you as you were going up is already on the internet and is making dance. That's how easy it is. Let me continue the quote. How does an image of such historical significance in national heritage traverse such issues of discrimination? Sam Nzima, Santu Mofuge. Let us think of them as we read then in conclusion just what the presentation starts off with, which is section 231(2) of our Constitution. And remember, section 231(2) reads, I quote, an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, unless it is an agreement referred to in subsection 3. And subsection 3 basically refers to agreements that are of a technical, administrative, or executive nature. So that is the constitutional responsibility that we now have as members of this select committee to decide what do we take to the National Council of Provinces is the agreement of this committee on that legislation. That being said, honourable members, was in addition to now open it so that we can engage with each other, and at the conclusion of our questions and comments, we will then vote on the matter. I notice the honourable, I almost said Matebula. The honourable Mahwebu. Can I see this honourable Chai? Okay. Let's have the two of you for now. Honourable Mahwebu, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions here. One, on the importance of these treaties. My question is, you know, these treaties, they encapsulate a whole range of economic rights to certain groups, namely performers, people with disability, and so forth and so forth. But it's one thing to have these treaties encapsulating these rights, but these rights must be realized. And my question has always been, and even today, it's still the same question. What is it that the department is doing to raise awareness to the affected groups or the beneficiaries of these rights? Because it will be, you know, a fruitless exercise, and a futile exercise rather, to just have these treaties, whereas the beneficiaries of these rights are unaware of the existence of these rights. That's the first question, Chair, and that's a very important question in my humble view. Secondly, and quickly, some of these treaties can only come into effect and only when the domestic legislation has been passed. Now, my question is, does the department have a timeline or a timetable of the domestic legislations that they need to work on so that these treaties can come into effect? Because it's one thing to just have the treaties that will not be effective until domestic legislation, but still, to have domestic legislation, we must have clear timelines so that those rights could be realized. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khan. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first start with the administrative issues, Chair. Concerned that we only received this document yesterday. In fact, when I look at the time, I was already at the airport, only see them this morning. I just want the committee secretary to make sure that there's improvement. I know it's the last meeting for us as a committee, but it's just an advice for the parliament. Because there should be improvement in terms of distributing the documents, but also perhaps to the department, because these are just international agreements. There's nothing changes. What you send to the NA will be the same on what you send to the NCOB. Perhaps it will be better if you send the documents to both committee secretaries of the NA and NCOP. But for the NCOP, it will be information until such time it is programmed in the select committee program. my question is similar to the one by Honorable Makwebu. For example, the Marrakesh Treaty, you receive an advice from DOJ and CD in 2008. Sorry, was it 98? Or 2008, yes. But again, I think in 2018. I'm not sure what is the difference between the advice that you received in 2008 and this one that you received in 2018, that delayed you from enacting a domestic legislation. It's more than 10 years since you received the advice from DOJ and CD. So that's my concern. But also, I wish that we had started with these treaties before we started with the legislation on copyright and performance protection bill. I know that the last one says that first we need to have a domestic legislation. I'm saying as a presentation, not necessarily as a ratification, so that it would have made things easier, even for those who are making submissions, because the legislation that we have dealt with, which will be considered by the House on Thursday, these treaties would have given a guide on us as the members of committee, as well as the public that has been making their submission. Another concern is that countries take very long. They sign these treaties or protocols, but they take long to ratify. Some would be even more than 20 years. They would be signed 20 years ago. But there will be few countries that actually ratify these treaties. I think it's a concern. I don't know who can champion and make sure that the countries ratify. You know, from time to time, say, we deal with protocols or treaties or international agreement that must ratify this committee. When you check whether it's a EU protocols or treaties or international agreement, you find that they've been signed years before they actually come to Parliament for ratification. That's a concern I'm having, Chair. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Dihale.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, the story that you started to relate before you allow us to say anything is really so painful. And I really don't know, because normally we'll pass whatever we pass in Parliament, and people down on the ground, they normally don't receive the information. So
The Honorable Khai touched on the question as to why is this thing taking so long, because people normally campaign and they do all this type of lobbying, but really they will always take long. Like this one, it will end up assisting these poor people who are suffering. I believe the fact that this person that the chairperson talked about, he's now crippled, he can't speak, he can't do anything because of the stress. It's because of the stress, because he has done a very good job, which is now even helping the people out there in the country, from the country that, the German country that he mentioned. But the person is having nothing to put on the table. So my question, we are going to do as the department is requesting us to do, to allow the treat to go on. But my request, Chairperson, is that as from today, the information must go into the media, TV, radios, in all our languages. These people must know that Parliament has worked. We have agreed that we are going to assist them. And the other thing, I really want to request the department that, like here on page 15, they are saying that's what 24 countries have ratified and acceded to the Beijing Treaty, and it's not yet in force. You see? My request is that let's not cater these countries that are not having difficulties in assisting their people. We have the difficulties. We need to allow this treaty to go on. And please, department, it must just go and act. It must just act as from today. And the other thing, Chairperson, I repeat, let our people have a knowledge of what we're doing in Parliament so that they can stand up and claim what belongs to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Babu, you're covered?
Yeah.
Let me just add two things. First, a comment before I pose my questions. With the situation in Mali at the moment, you know that Mali has one of the oldest strips in the world on mathematics. And when we were looking at the new partnership on Africa's development, remember President Thabo Mbeki was quite involved, but it was to protect that asset that we have as a continent. You know, the first languages that we have recorded as well is like coming from Egypt, the hieroglyphics. And what this treaty enables us is to also look at protecting that. It pained me when I saw the massacre that happened in Mali 2 days ago. And knowing that at one time, the what we call libraries in our international terminology in Mali was threatened, because if those scripts, I mean, it's not written on a laptop or on paper the way we know it. It's very sensitive material, and it can be destroyed. And a whole part of our human history, and particularly our African history, will go there. So these treaties also helps us to be able to look at protecting those type of things. I know at one time there was talk about digitalizing that material that we have in Mali so that we can have proper records for that. If we look at the what we have in the Capes here in Africa as well, some of our major tourism attractions, we need to be able to save that information as well in a format that it will be available to many future generations to come. This treaty enables us. Honorable Dihale, I will agree with the concerns that you are raising, DGT, to help us to say, but why now only? But then also to say that my concern is about the unfair contractual agreements which compromises authors now. It builds on the question that was raised earlier on, where I won't answer now, I'll do my answering on what was raised earlier on, at the opportune time. But would the Department of Trade and Industry be able to advise or refer the individuals concerned? Like we, for example, have the National Consumer Commission, which protects consumers. We passed the Credit Act, where we're trying to help people that are in debt. And this is an important sector of our society as well, our performers, our artists. How, just so that people out there would know how to deal with the challenges that they are experiencing. Then, in conclusion, honorable members, the question that was raised by Honorable Khai to the secretary of the committee, I want to come to the defense of our secretary, because that's my job, to make sure that he does his job. At 8:56 on Friday morning, Lupeka sent us the treaty as well as the notice for today's meeting at 8:56 on Friday morning. I received it. I immediately went back to him complaining that some of the slides, particularly towards the end of the presentation, did not come through on my telephone, because I read my emails on my phone. He then, within 5 minutes, came back to me to say, but no, Chair, he can read it properly. And I said to him, that's fine. I wanted to make sure that you would be able to read it. So I went to my laptop, and when I opened it on my laptop, the problem was solved. So the problem was my cell phone not giving me access to the full document. So, Honorable Khai, I just wanted to say that I make sure that we get these things in time. So what we can say, DDG, thank you very much. Uh-huh. I know you sent it to Lupeka before Friday. So I don't know which exactly what day she sent it to Lupeka, but Lupeka had it. I would assume that he received it Thursday afternoon. Saroj? Because it goes from the DDG to Saroj, Saroj sends it to Lupeka. And I must say, honorable members, that as during our term in this committee, it has never happened, Honorable Faber, you can support me, that we receive documents late. So this document was not sent to us late. It may just have been a technical problem. I have serious technical problems now with my tools of trade, that many of my emails are not coming through. I had to spend an hour with Parliament's IT last week, Tuesday, just to sort out, because there is some difficulty that we were experiencing in that sense. So if it didn't come through, Honorable Khai, it's not a fault of our secretary, but we want to apologize, because there was, and there is still, a bit of difficulty with getting, particularly if you use Gmail, where we say if the document is too heavy, then Gmail has a problem sending you the full document. But also, if you, like me, have been using your Parliament mail, I use an iCloud and Parliament mail. My Parliament mail has been giving me difficulty while iCloud mails used to come through. Our apologies, however, but I'm answering on behalf of our secretary to say it's not that he only sent it to us yesterday. I want to express my appreciation also to Martins, because what Lupeka does, Martins repeats. And we apologize to you before to say that we will rather repeat something and make sure you have it than to try and be perfect by only sending it to you once. So Martin sent the same documents to us yesterday again. And what you have been opening when you got to the airport on Ibahai was the second document that Martin sent to us. Did you see it, please?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the questions, honorable members. In terms of the plans, or what has the department been doing in terms of raising awareness, we do have engagement with stakeholders. For example, the division where I am, we would have engagement with actors from time to time to talk to their issues or to do some elements of education and awareness on some aspects of their trade. But now going forward with this legislation, if it's passed, we have a massive implementation drive that we have to undertake as a department. So in a way, we are committing ourselves to ensure that there will be education and awareness on the bill, on the legislation, and also there will be guidelines that are provided over and above just education awareness. For example, practice notes and different guidance that is required to ensure that there is that understanding of what the government is doing around the creative industry for the people. And Honorable Gekhale, and it's important, you're right, access issues are important, the issues of language. So we will take this into consideration when we engage and ensuring that also we are in the platforms that are common for people to use, even people who are in the rural areas and areas like this. So we are going to look into this in terms of educating the people, raising awareness on what the legislation is providing. And the issue of education is important, awareness is important, and yes, we have been having this, but the reform of the legislation will call on new commitments in terms of coming up with stronger measures and making sure that information is accessible and people know what their rights are. So I'm acknowledging Honorable Magwebu's input, and I'm acknowledging you, Honorable Gekhale, in terms of your view around how we should even go about doing this in the media and then spreading the knowledge. And Honorable Magwebu, in terms of the domestic laws, the timelines of the laws, it will depend on the what transpires in the NCOP, especially we are dealing with the Performance Protection Amendment Bill and the Copyright Amendment Bill. These are the two legislation that talk to these treaties. And we are currently deliberating on them. And the SILEC committee adopted both of them a week before, but now they have to be tabled further. I must emphasize there's huge opposition against this bill, especially the Copyright Amendment Bill. Industry role players have concerns around them, so the timelines will depend on what the outcome of the whether they are passed into law or not, even going towards the signatures of the president. So we are in the stage of the finalization of the legislation, but I'm acknowledging that there are views out there that these laws, they should not be rushed, they should not happen. So we will be informed by the outcome of that process. So it's difficult to say, but I would say that we are prioritizing them, and they are in front of us in terms of the current laws that are being tabled to address the challenges. Honorable Khali, the 2008 was an error. It's supposed to be 2018. So it was around the same time, it was around the same period in 2018 when we got two legal opinions from DECO and DOJ. So it was around the same time, but then they advised that we need to wait on the Marrakesh Treaty and wait for the law to be in place. And we tried. You know what we did, me and Chiriro, we went back to them to say, can't you just allow us? You've allowed us to do the other three. Can we do this one? And so they said, no, rather wait. So we then decided to respect their advice and guidance. But it was not without trying on our part. We think that the Marrakesh is one of the most important treaties, and we are actually saddened that it is left behind because we did want it to go forward. In terms of countries delaying to, they sign, but then they delay to accede to the treaties, I think in our case, we do not foresee that challenge per se, because what we intend to do, as I've indicated on the slide 7, that after the parliamentary process, what is remaining is the depositing of the instrument. And as soon as we get that go ahead, we intend to run and make sure that happens. So we will be ensuring that we join our other African counterparts that have acceded to these treaties, and we will ensure that we don't, the efforts of the committees of parliament is not lost where something is done with the approval that we are hoping to get from today and also on Thursday going forward. So we are at the latter stage of the processes. And in terms of answering to why did we come, we could have come earlier to the committee, that point is noted. However, because of the processes that we had to follow, there were steps. So meaning before we come to the select committee, we had to go to the portfolio committee, we had to go to the cabinet, we had to go to the National Assembly. So we could not skip one step to the next. So we had to follow a particular process, which also affected how we ended up having this presentation at the select committee. Chair, unfair contractual arrangements. We have strengthened in the Copyright Amendment Bill the Copyright Tribunal. The tribunal will be addressing different disputes, challenges, and we want it to be a very cost-effective measure for the people instead of the courts. So we have a strong Copyright Tribunal provisions in the bill that are strong, and we think that it will be a very strong measure to address issues that will be affecting our authors and performers and so on. So we have that measure in place in the legislation, and the tribunal will be strengthened. It is existing at the moment, but it's operating in terms of limited scope of mandate. But the bill gives them more powers to handle different issues in the copyright in the bill. So we are very hopeful that many issues will be addressed, and not only in terms of the tribunal, but awareness raising, ensuring that we have those practice guides, the guidelines, and so on. I think that it will go a long way in closing those gaps. Thank you. But I'll request Shirilo, if maybe she has got anything to add, she can come in.
Allow me to just make this comment before you do that, because I have it in my head now. The point that you raised also, Honorable Mahwebu, is an important one, which is that our responsibility is to process the legislation, but we need to look at the effectiveness thereof. I am looking at it from a different angle, but complementing what the DTG is saying. If you look at the number of submissions that have been made to us, it is quite clear. There is a number of organizations out there. Remember how many people we were in the same space last week when we looked at that. And many of them are organized formations of the affected parties, both the performers, actors, writers, as well as the industry. Now, just in terms of the performers, I think I must mention three things to you. You see, there is a group from SAMA, South African Music Alliance, who lobbied me. They came to my constituency offices where I can't say no, I can't speak to you. Come in, and then we had a conversation. That's one group. If we look at the people with disabilities, there is another person who is blind, who had a meeting with me just to say thank you. Also, I have been talking to Louis Nzimande about this, and Louis is very impressed that we are doing this because it makes his life as a person who's blind much easier. I have an email here from the Society for the Blind, and they mentioned like 7 or 9 organizations that they are working with on this legislation. And then the final one that I just want to mention is my comrade Mzwake Mbuli, the people's poet, who sent me a WhatsApp to say, hey, you guys are doing good in terms of looking at this legislation. And then to just conclude that, where he, Mzwake Mbuli, has been granted the 2019 SAMAS, SAMAS, SAMAS 2019, intends to honor him with a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he is one of those activists within the sector that is very involved in it. The filmmaking industry in South Africa yesterday had a program on television, and I watched it, and they were talking. No, it was on a radio station, which name I wouldn't mention, where they interviewed this person who was a young person from the Vowel Triangle in Gauteng. And he schooled with this person that is now a journalist on this railway, on this radio station. And I was amazed at how much good work they are doing in terms of saying that how do we protect the legacy of this young man that was a filmmaker in South Africa from the Vowel, schooled in Annandale, and is now being protected, his legacy is being protected by some journalist who is on a commercial radio station in South Africa. That should not lead us to being content. But I want to close it with a remark that was made by our Premier of Gauteng, where he's saying that he made an interesting observation, where our people are not saying give us handouts. Our people are saying make it possible for us so that we can do things for ourselves. And I think all of us as political parties will be preparing for an election. That's an area that we're looking at. How do we give more power to our people so that they can do things for themselves? And this is such an enabling legislation. Honorable Khan?
No, I just wanted to clarify that what I meant with regard to documents, that there's nothing stopping you from circulating documents to both committees before you even come to present. I don't know if I'm clarifying. So that the committee secretary can then send those documents to members. It will then depend on when we invite you to come there to present them. But by that time, when you come to present them, we have received the document and we have gone through the documents on time. So that's what I meant. Not that you must just come. But also, there's nothing preventing you from coming to the NCOP to present before you present to it's an international agreement. It doesn't have to be first endorsed by the AA and then transmitted to the NCOP and referred to the committee. It could be vice versa, not like a domestic
situation. Although we hear you, it's not the DGG's prerogative. That's the procedure of Parliament. So we need to revisit our procedures and not put it on the DG. You see, Saroj, I have always said to you that we have a complaint against Saroj. That Saroj sends us lots of emails, lots of information. Right? We've said we're not complaining. If you don't want it, you can delete it. But we want her to send it to us. But that is very straightforward because we said Saroj sent us that. We've given her permission. On the one that you're raising vis-a-vis legislation and treaties, Saroj cannot do it unless she receives permission from us as chairpersons to do that. Honorable Dihane, you wanted to speak on that?
You said a mouthful, chairperson, though I can put in a little salt by saying our house is an upper house. So if they started the legislature, go to the National Assembly and ultimately come to us, then they know that we have all the keys to open their doors. So it's fine the way it is going. Even in the house, we allow the young ones to have their piece of meat first, enjoy it, and come to us at the end. So I wanted to make an addition on that one.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think we are on the verge of concluding this. May I just draw your attention to slide 27, which for me summarizes as best. The block there on the right-hand side of slide 27 that says the three WIPO treaties were found to be consistent with domestic law, international law, and South Africa's international obligations. Therefore, I will put them to you separately. Firstly, that the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, report on the Beijing Treaty on Individual Performances dated 26 March 2019, and our report reads, the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, having considered the request by Parliament on the accession to the Beijing Treaty on Audiovisual Performance 2012, recommends that the House, that's the NCOP, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, approve the accession to the said agreement. Can we get a proposer, seconder, and vote on that, please, for the report to be considered by the NCOP? Honorable Khai? Seconded by...
I move that the treaty be adopted or ratified.
Okay. Seconded by Honorable Faber. Anybody against that? We're unanimous of that. Okay. Then I'll sign that. Okay. The second one, Honorable Members, is the report of the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, having considered the request for approval by Parliament on the accession to the World Intellectual Property Organization Copyright Treaty, which is the WCT, recommends that the Council, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, approve the accession to the said agreement. Honorable Khai proposes. Honorable Dihale seconds. Do we have any votes against that?
None.
Okay. Then we deal with the final one, Honorable Members. The report of the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, having considered the request for approval by Parliament on the accession to the World Intellectual Organization Performances and Phonograms Treaty, which is the WPPT, recommends that the Council, in terms of Section 21, Bracket 2 of the Constitution, approve the accession to the said agreement. One of the high moves. One of the other seconds. Agreed. Okay, thank you, Honorable Members. I have explained the process of the Marrakesh Agreement, so we are fine with that. Digi and your team, thank you very much again that you have enabled us to deal with a whole number of responsibilities that we have in terms of processing legislation. You are welcome to sit with us. We're just going to be like a few minutes more before we conclude our business. Honorable Members, we have before us the minutes of our committee meeting held on the 20th of March 2018. The minute has been distributed to all of us. I looked at the minute, Honorable Members, and as I said before, my responsibility is not to edit minutes via email. I've asked the manager of the unit to get somebody to edit the minutes. Not my job. So I've noticed problems with this minutes. Amendments. I will put it to you as amendments. The first one, I'm happy with the first two pages. It comes to...
Chairperson?
Yes, my friend.
Before you go on, Chairperson, on page 3, which is, I don't know how you count your pages, but are you talking about just the parliamentary support staff names, guest attendance, and committee members?
No, that's page 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I'm happy with page 1 and 2. If you have amendments, you can put them.
No, that's fine. Sorry.
Okay. My problem is with page 3. If you look at... This is not the minutes that was distributed to us. You see the minutes, which is fine. You see the first paragraph under 3.2. Look at your email again. It refers to the copyright amendment bill. That has now been corrected. It's the performance protection amendment bill. I'm happy with that. Right? But then if you, I mean, Rebecca, you don't do this to us. What you've distributed to us is not what you're presenting to us here. What has been distributed to us, the adjournment time there was 9:30. It's now been changed to 12:30. Now, that's the second thing I wanted to change. You see, so it was the first one that I wanted to change was there under 3.2. It has now been corrected. The second thing that I wanted to change was the adjournment time of the meeting. That has now been corrected either. So I'm happy. As it is before us now.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable Father.
Yes, Chairperson, we don't agree definitely with 3.1. As you know, in that meeting, three provinces voted for that bill, three against it, and one abstained. Till there, we are 100% with you. Except, number one, that there's two provinces that did not give their final mandates on that specific date. Now, it can say that then the committee refers it to the House, which we don't agree with. We believe that this committee is the authority on that final mandate. And there was not five mandates at that stage here. We don't agree with that, and we don't feel that we're a rubber stamp. We feel that this committee have the authority to make a decision on that. And we decided that as there was not five mandates here in the House, final mandates here in this committee, we will thus not want it to even be referred to, and we don't agree with the minister as such, and therefore we will then rather break quorum and not adopt this minutes from our side.
Okay, if you don't want to adopt it, I think this is a true reflection of the minute. The secretary has there for us in terms of NCOP rule, 1711B. I read that rule in the meeting the last time, and that rule is very clear. What needs to happen is that it has to go through. Honourable members, we were quoted when we started to the meeting. Can I have a proposal for the acceptance of the Honourable Dikgale? Seconded by
Thank you, Chairperson. On the basis that we corrected when we were starting this meeting, and everybody signed the... Did you sign the
register? Yeah.
We did.
Okay.
Then I move that.
Okay. Honourable members, let us then conclude the meeting.
We are fine, Chair.
Let us conclude the meeting by saying that we have the report here, the legacy report. My problem with this report, Honourable members.
But can I formally?
It has been done. For the minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been
on tap. Oh, okay.
It's been done by the Khan on tap. Okay. We have the legacy report here. I did not see this report until yesterday. However, whoever has done this report has done a very good job in terms of preparing the report. Now, Honourable Members, the point that you raised earlier, Honourable Khai, about receiving the documents late. This document came to us late. I can say to you as chairperson, I'm happy with the document. It's not a policy document. It's a legacy report. There's nothing in the report that would speak against the good work that you have been doing as members of the committee. I would therefore, with that being said, plead with you anyhow that we accept the legacy report. Honourable Dikgale?
I'm buying to the request of the chairperson.
Can you so propose, madam, because I can't.
I do propose.
You propose?
Yes.
Honourable Ntebe?
Agreed, Chair.
You second. Okay, then that goes through. Honourable members, you know when we started here, I'm concluding now. We had a chairperson from the Eastern Cape. I'm embarrassed now. I'm normally very good with names. Your Suka. Litu. He was more experienced than I was. And if I have to give thanks today, I want to start with him and give him thanks. but also to give thanks to Honorable Khai when he came as chairperson and took over that responsibility. Also to Honorable Tebe to say that during that period of confusion, I remember we were dealing with very important legislation, which was the land matter. And Honorable Tebe was very good in terms of standing in for us during that period to help us check. To all the members of the committee, we never had this crap that we're having this morning, where members walk out of a meeting. I want to say to the DA members, they have just spoiled what has been a very good relationship. It has never happened. We, one of the committees where even the staff who are here will say that, hey, we can't understand, but you people are so open, so frank, so democratic in the way in which you relate to each other. I recognize that as a very important camaraderie that we've had, even with members of the composition in this committee, and give thanks for that. If they think they've spoiled the party goes on. We appreciate that for 5 years we haven't had an incident like this morning. We've really cooperated very well with each other, and nothing can erase that. To our staff, we want to say thank you very much. Sometimes I can be a difficult person to work with, but I'm also looking at our relationship with staff to say that we must help you to grow so that you can also serve the other committees better. And we appreciate that you've tolerated us to grow. There is particularly the personal assistant to the Honorable Tevin, who's really spoiled us in this committee. We want to say to you that we all appreciate so much the great ethic of service that you have for every member of this committee. You treat us all exactly the same, and we do not take that for granted. We trust that God will bless you, my sister. To our secretary of the committee, let me isolate him, Mr. Packer. We appreciate the work that you are doing to professionalize and to keep the work of the committee, the records of what we're doing here. In the absence of my personal assistant, Zukiswa, to also then thank her for the support that she's been providing. Honorable members, if any of you want to say some concluding words, you are welcome to raise it now. Let me say, Honorable members, we are one of the committees where we never struggled with not being able to do our work because of a quorum. It is because your dedication and your support. And we really want to recognize that, your commitment to the responsibilities that you have in this committee is indeed highly appreciated. Honorable Ntebe.
No, Chair, I think you've said a mouthful. From my part, I want to send my greatest gratitude to the members of the committee, the support staff, and everybody who's been part of this path that we traversed together. It has been a long and winding one, but quite interesting also. We've learned a lot from each other. And this is the parting shot from me, that we should continue to be the family that we came to be as we met as different individuals in 2014, not knowing each other, not even knowing each other from the bar of soap, but we became so close, we could share jokes and do whatever. I apologize if in my jokes I made some of you to be angry at one stage. I'm always playful. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to everybody.
Thank you. Let's have the Honorable Dikhale last. Honorable Khai.
I tried last week when I was chairing the committee, because it's the same to me, to thank everyone. As I indicated that I was from another committee of senior citizens that were conservative. So you need to get change the constitution. You know, if people, I think the chairperson, you know, there was Honorable Sefako is in his 70s in terms of the age.
75,
yeah. So, you know, so you find a situation where everybody is conservative. That day when I came here, I found that the world was jovial. Yeah, but I think that what perhaps the NCOP should be doing in future is to make sure that there's a level of understanding, particularly on the lawmaking processes. I'm saying this because this walkout for me has got nothing to do with the adoption of the minutes. It's got to do with the lack of understanding of law processing or lawmaking processes. Because even if in the committee there are fewer provinces that have submitted their final money, it doesn't stop the House to consider those that have come after. It's a norm. Not only this committee, there will be. I'm sure there are other committees that are dealing with the bills, and they are dealing with 1776 bill, and some of the mandates will come after the committee has met. It doesn't then stop those final mandates to be considered by the House. So for me, it's a misunderstanding of the law making process. So it's a pity that we closing this term of this committee with some members who are opposed to some of the bills, but they trying to use procedures that they have misunderstanding on to try and block legislation, particularly legislation. It's been a tendency, let me be open, of the DA to oppose any legislation that has transformation element. It's not going to be only these that will be coming from this committee. You see on Thursday, we've got lots of bills on Thursday that will be dealing with from different committees, and I'm sure DA will be opposing almost all of them. So anything that's got a transformation agenda, they are opposed to. Coming back, just because when I came back and see if you were dealing with this issue, I thought let me also, because I didn't have an opportunity to raise this point. But otherwise, with regard to how we've been working, we've been working very well. I'd also like to thank everyone within the staff that we've been working on in the committee, in the oversight work. International study talks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dikhale.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to be long. Everybody touched on everybody, including the staff members. I just want to touch on the content advisor and the researcher that. We are coming to the end of this committee, and after the 8th, we'll be coming back. Maybe they will have new chairpersons or the same chairpersons, I don't know. Obviously, different members of the committee, because some of us are on the other list. We are not going to come back to the NCOP unless a miracle happens. We'll be in the NA, but I just want to request them that they must do their work. We are happy now that every month we were getting what we were getting because we were dedicated to our work. but I really want to put this on a record that they failed us. They never do as we expected them to do. But anyhow, because we are, let me say, we are old, we manage. I really want to thank Sarah Shem. Naidu, you are so good. And I hope you continue to be good to everybody. Until you are saying, I'm tired now, I'm leaving school. You continue to do that every day, every minute, every hour. And Chairperson, we enjoy to be members of this committee. We enjoy to be leaders because the department will respect us and listen to us. On behalf of all the department that will come into this committee, I would like to say to the beautiful ladies who are behind before me, say thank you very much. On behalf of everybody, I never saw any member of the department being aggressive to us. Even if we try to provoke them, they will remain humble to us, and they will continue to teach us even if we don't understand. That was very, very good. We are what we are because of you guys. But I must say, from the beginning, 2014, I did not understand my Chairperson Makua. After 3 months to attend that, I said, oh, he's like this, okay. No, I know how to work with him. But it was very difficult at the beginning. At the end, he ended up teaching us how to understand these bills, how to deal with the legislation, even presenting the mandate from our provinces. Chairperson, thank you very, very much. God bless you. When we are attending our oversight visit, you and the other Chairperson, Honorable Khai, actually were brothers and fathers to everybody. God bless you for that, and I believe you'll come back to the NCOP and continue to do this good work. God bless you, and bless you in heaven. When I, you know that if you don't talk, I always complain. I have learned a lot from you, my dear one, and we have enjoyed. Martin, I don't want to say much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Please make sure that you continue to serve as we are doing now at the end, from the beginning. Hi, Martin, so difficult. But anyhow, we thank God that at the end, we've managed. Rebecca, you are from Limpopo, the son of the soil. I'm happy that every time when we say you did not do things correctly, you apologize and continue to do that. That is why you are the secretary. And I believe you continue to be the secretary and even get a promotion. Grace is not here. Tell Grace that we love her. She did a very good job for us. And those who are giving us the food, hey, we have gained a lot of weight. Now, we are going home, we are going to work for our political parties. I believe silence means consent. As I will be saying, everybody in this house must go out and complain for it. We have campaigned for the ANC. You see, they are quiet. Everybody is going to campaign for the ANC chairperson, and ANC will win. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ihale, our sister, our mother, our comrade, and therefore we want to speak last. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Why only on the last month, sir, are we getting lunch every day?